Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Anastasia. Thank you, choir. Anastasia read from us from the Gospel of Luke this morning. And the Gospel of Luke, of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke gives us more of a window into Jesus' prayer life than any other Gospel. And in the Gospel of Luke, we have this sense that Jesus is experiencing the extreme love of God as he has this time getting up early in the morning and experiencing God's presence in prayer, experiencing that excruciating love, that deep extreme love of God, that lavish love of God, that he experiences that in prayer. And so the disciples are observing this, and they're observing where he gets his strength. And they realize we need strength. We need this experience of God's love, God's lavish grace, God's extreme mercy. We need that. And so they saw him experience that in prayer. And so they naturally said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And so we have in this passage of Scripture Jesus teaching his disciples to pray, and it's really when you look at it, it's a simple prayer. It's simple petitions in prayer that Jesus gives, and it's a little different than the prayer we receive in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. Is that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is the pattern of prayer that we usually use in worship every Sunday. But this one is a more simple, and you might even say bare bones prayer. But in its simplicity, there is beauty. There's beauty. And so Jesus teaches us through this these petitions of prayer. And I see these petitions of prayer being kind of like unto spiritual exercises that Jesus gives us, being able to exercise our spiritual muscles in prayer. And when we are exercising, often we're told the importance not just to exercise one set of muscles, but to exercise several. We need strength in all parts of our bodies. And so we're told to work different muscle groups. And so that's what is recommended by those who want us to have strong bones and strong bodies and that sort of thing. I have to say that every day, though, I work one particular muscle. I do curls every day with my right arm. About five times a day. I work my curls at breakfast, and then second breakfast, and then lunch, and then snack, and then dinner, and then evening. You have to have sustenance as you go to bed. So I work those curls every day, and I have to say that in my prayer life. Early on, I was kind of in the same way, kind of one-dimensional. I did the curls of the request. That's what I thought prayer was all about, that was the fullness of prayer. When I was about 13, I might ask for prayers to make the team or for the test to be postponed, I might ask for, grace in the grading, or grace in that girlfriend that I wanted. I might ask for prayers for a problem or a pressure or for pimples or whatever it is. But that was what my prayer life was. And thanks be to God, God meets us where we are. God meets us where we are and begins that journey with us. But Jesus wants to stretch us beyond simply seeing prayer as the ask to a relationship of lavish love. And so he gives us these petitions to help us grow in spiritual health and work our different spiritual muscles, several spiritual muscles. So I want you to notice in Luke's prayer, he begins with this word, Father, which in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, he would have said, Abba. And Abba is that most intimate word available in Aramaic for a loving parent. It's the most intimate word available in the Aramaic to describe a kind of love. It's that first word that a child might speak, Abba, ba, 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 ba. And it's that first way that Jesus invites us to acknowledge who God is as this lavish love, this one of extreme love, this one who throws his arms around us, love, as we read in the parable of the prodigal son. It reminds us. This word reminds us of who God is, and who we are in relationship with God. That we are the beloved, chosen children of God. Behold, what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we would be called the children of God, able to address God as Abba. Abba. Abba, and then hallowed be your name. Let your name be honored. And this is an opportunity to know the intimacy of God, but also to remember who God is, to be honored and praised. And we can take this as a way, a segue for us into a time of praise and thanksgiving of God. Thanksgiving shapes our heart. Praise shapes our hearts. And then let your kingdom come reminds us of who is the king, who rules, and who doesn't. That it's not about my little fiefdom and my little reign, but it's about God's reign. Let your kingdom come in me and here as it is in heaven. And so we begin with that, remembering and acknowledging who God is and who we are in relationship with God. And then Jesus invites us then to ask for daily manna, daily bread. And that word reminds us of the manna that was given in the wilderness, that daily bread that God gives. And it's okay. God invites us Jesus invites us to share our needs and share our concerns and concerns of the world, to ask for daily bread. But then another spiritual exercise is asking for forgiveness. For we have fallen short of God's love. But not just forgiveness, but also to have a forgiving heart. Because that doesn't come easy, does it, when we've been hurt and wounded and damaged and abused. Forgive us as we forgive. Give us a forgiving heart, even as you forgive us where we have fallen short in ways that we're aware of and unaware of. So forgiveness. And then finally, to experience God's deliverance in the midst of the trials of this world. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us in the time of trial. Give us deliverance in the midst of that. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of evil, in the midst of all we encounter, God is with us. And so we see these petitions that, again, are helping us in the various ways that we experience God, that various spiritual exercises that we might grow in relationship with God. And I urge us to use this pattern. Not just the words, but again, the different exercises that it invites us to grow in, to grow our spiritual muscles, to grow in relationship with God, and to use this prayer. But I have to acknowledge that prayer doesn't always feel fulfilling in the moment, particularly when we start. It's like anything. There are times when I first getting started in a prayer journey, that I didn't see the results that I wanted. I didn't feel different necessarily after that prayer time. But wanting that instant kind of outcome is kind of like going to the gym in the first week of January, you know, that New Year's resolution, going to the gym that first week in January, and then coming back from the gym that first week in January and looking in the mirror and saying, oh, okay, what's the problem? I do not look like Scarlett Johansson yet, you know? And of course, I will never look like Scarlett Johansson, you know? Okay, I will never look like The Rock. I'll never look like The Rock either, okay? Or Chris Evans, or whoever that is. It's not an instant process, but it's a practice. It's a practice, and as we practice, we grow in this relationship, and we grow in this relationship. And so Jesus says, "Keep at it, keep at it." These are petitions of prayer, but also there's the persistence in prayer, because Jesus, after he gives us the petitions, he talks about and tells this story about, and this was something that was not uncommon in the Middle East of that time. You know, a friend would be on a journey and arrives after dinner, and it's late, and they go in, and the expectation was for a meal. That was hospitality in that day and in that time. And if you didn't have that, then that was an embarrassment. And so you would go to your neighbor and cry out to your neighbor. And Jesus is saying that neighbor may not do that out of convenience, but to kind of get you off his back, he might provide something for you. How much more will Abba respond to those who call out to him? At midnight, or mid-morning, or mid-afternoon, or whatever time. This is an invitation to be in an ongoing relationship with Abba. That any time is an appropriate time to call out to Abba. When you're driving, when you're working, in a meeting, in the midst of a difficult conversation. Arrow prayers, Abba, help. What Jesus is talking about is a relationship that is ongoing, that's perennial, that's 24/7, in which God is always accessible to us. And that we can offer our prayers to God, and not just the pleasantries, friend. Not just the pleasantries. God wants our authentic selves and our authentic feelings, and we can share our frustrations with Abba. Have you read the Psalms? The Psalms have some beautiful prayers of praise. They also contain beautiful expressions of frustration and pain, difficulty. God wants an authentic relationship with us when we can be real, real with God. And so Jesus offers this parable about perseverance, this ongoing relationship with God where we bring our authentic selves into the presence of God. And then he ends by reminding us of the purpose of prayer. He says that God always gives the best gifts. Always gives the best gifts. If a child asks for a bread, will a parent give that child a scorpion? Or if asked for something good, will the parent give it a snake? No. God always gives the best gifts. Now, this is where we need a little bit of perspective again. Is that I think I know what those best gifts should be. But I don't always see the big picture. And so I've not always had every prayer answered in the way that I thought it should be answered, in the time frame that I thought it should have been answered. I'm a child of this age, and I'm a child of Amazon Prime, and I have to acknowledge that I want things, and I want them yesterday. I don't like to wait. God always gives the best gift, regardless of what we ask for, and sometimes what we ask for is deeply important to us, and it's painful when we have to wait or when we don't receive the answer that we want. But here's how Jesus ends. Jesus says that God always gives the Holy Spirit. God always gives the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God, to all who will receive that gift. That God always gives the best gift, His presence. His presence, not always what I want in terms of the circumstance, but God always gives His presence to those who ask. And His presence often, I found, brings comfort, brings strength, brings wisdom that is not from me. God's presence is what is the best gift of all. And He offers that. He stirs us to a life that is richer and more fuller and more meaningful because God is with us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer this morning. And in this time of prayer, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and work in us whatever that may be that we are in need of most deeply. At the sides of the sanctuary, there are a couple of stations on each side where if there's someone on your heart, or maybe a situation on your heart, maybe it's a health concern globally with the coronavirus or our response to that, or wisdom in that, or those who are dealing with the aftermath of tornadoes and grief in Tennessee. There may be other things on our hearts that you just want to take to God in prayer. And so there are places where you can light a candle, you can write the concern, that person's name down, and then I invite you to take a handheld cross back with you. But you may want to come forward and pray for a few moments. We're going to take a few moments here. And on the kneeling rail here this morning, we have names of people who have gone to Costa Rica this morning, but also names of the students who are at Lydia Patterson Institute and the faculty of Lydia Patterson Institute, that wonderful ministry in El Paso that makes a difference in so many lives. I invite you to take a name or two and take it with you this week that we might just bathe them in prayer. because I want to share a word about how God works through a school like Lydia Patterson. A few years ago, we had an intern by the name of Raquel Moreno, and she was here for the summer. And in the course of her summer experience here, she was a senior at Lydia Patterson, I believe. And she went to work on some of the buildings that in Rowlett that had been destroyed and damaged with the tornadoes that came through there a few years ago. She worked with our youth team on that project. And in the midst of that, she started having a stirring that she just believed was from God, from the Holy Spirit. And she began talking with Pastor Martha. As we do this here, I know people who are without homes in Juarez and in the neighborhood that I live in the neighborhood where my father serves as pastor. There are people that have makeshift homes. They're not sustainable. I wonder, could homes be built? Could something like this happen there? And she began dreaming, and with support and with prayer, she is now establishing, 4 years later, a not-for-profit in Juarez. And we've been able to assist in building. We're now on our sixth home in Juarez because a young woman named Raquel, who came here, was from Lydia Patterson Institute and came here, began sensing a stirring of the Holy Spirit. As we come to pray, whether it's to the sides or to the front, I invite you to pray for that kind of stirring, because you never know what God can do to one person who taps in to God's lavish love, healing love, gracious love. Prayer.